الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored us with countless ni'mats and bounties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this iman. Iman requires that we fulfill our duties in the face of the earth, and we fulfill our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we recognize truly and properly the reality of this dunya and the reality of the akhirah. Once a person is fully aware of the reality of this world, it's fleeting, transitory and temporary, and the reality of the hereafter, that's all, it's everlasting, perpetual and remain there forever, then we will find that this will help him in the direction of his life. Help him as far as the focus of his life is concerned and aim and object of his life, because he knows where he's going or what he's doing or what the object is. Faqih Abu Al-Lays rahmatullah alayh, author of the famous kitab Tanbihul Ghafileen, has entailed in his kitab many, many chapters and has detailed many aspects of life and knowledge in his kitab. One place he mentions that there are six pure principles that every mu'min ought to adapt. Six pure characteristics that every mu'min ought to aspire for, make a concerted effort so it can come into his life, so that he can recognize the reality of this dunya and the akhirah. And the first quality he mentions is acquiring knowledge. Acquiring knowledge in order that he may distinguish and discern between right and wrong. Now, we all know this is a principle that is adopted by one and all, that in order to accomplish and fulfill any task, it is absolutely essential for us that we have the basic knowledge and the rules we know regarding that item or the do's and don'ts of that item. And if you are unaware, if you are walking in the darkness regarding any matter, then obviously we will stumble and fall, there will be disasters and calamities and catastrophes, there will be problems on our way. Likewise, as far as the deen of Islam is concerned, tarabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli muslim. It has been made absolutely essential for us to acquire the deen of Islam, the knowledge of the deen of Islam, in order to fulfill the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and fulfill our duties towards Allah and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is absolutely essential that we know the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we acquaint ourselves, and we have enough, acquire sufficient knowledge in order to live on the face of the earth like true mu'min, like obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abiding by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we all know, and especially in our circumstances when we are a minority, we are a minority surrounded by vast majority of non-Muslims, we rub shoulders with them and we live with them, we interact with them, then their ways, their trends, and we find their ideals of life begin to affect our lives, especially our younger generation, the women folk, etc. We sometimes cannot discern between what is the Islamic perspective in this matter and what is the un-Islamic or anti-Islamic, or what is that perspective of those that are against the deen of Islam or not following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Together with that, we find we are bombarded with the media, which is filled up with anti-Islamic and un-Islamic propaganda from the morning till the evening. The immoral ways and immoral cultures we find are creeping in to our schools, to our public places, to the places that we frequent, and we find many a generation are being affected by this. And sometimes we are startled to note, like one alim had mentioned to me in the past week, that people that we regard as pious people, people that we regard as offering, frequenting the masajid, etc., are involved in such matters that they regard as absolutely permissible. He was referring to some sales that take place in some people's shops of items that are completely immoral, and people regard as absolutely permissible. Those people that we term as outwardly, or they seem to be people that are following the deen and know the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's absolutely essential for us, for all of us put together, as far as all aspects of our life are concerned, whether it is our aqaid and beliefs, because we find that attacks come on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from various ways. There are some people that are undermining the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So we should be very careful, and we should be very wary, and we should be very vigilant as far as our aqaid is concerned, as far as our ibadat is concerned, as far as our muamlat and our dealings are concerned, that we are not polluted and contaminated by the ways of the kuffar, by the ways that of the ways of the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, as far as our culture is concerned, or as far as our social life is concerned, also we should be wary. Many Muslims, you see, Allah Pak forgive us, male and female, you cannot recognize that this person is a Muslim. There's no vestige of Islam. There's no trace of Islam on that person's life, in his lifestyle, in his way that he conducts himself, etc. Isn't he aware? Aren't we aware of the teachings of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We should ensure that we know what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are the directives towards the mu'min as far as all aspects of our life are concerned, as far as our beliefs are concerned, our social lives are concerned, even our outer attire is concerned. This is the way Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam want us to dress, so we should dress in that particular manner. So it is absolutely essential that we acquaint ourselves with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all aspects of the deen of Allah. More important today, when we find all sorts of information has surfaced now, find a person presses a button on the internet and the whole world of information comes to him as far as the deen is concerned, as far as the hadith is concerned, as far as the Quran and Pak is concerned as well. But we should remember that this ilm and knowledge that we get, this is deen. So we should be wary from where we get this deen. From who we get this deen, we should be wary. Should be those people that understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are pious, that are concerned about the akhirat, that have true understanding, that are upright, that are sincere. We should confide in them and go to them and get this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not through books and magazines and not through the internet, etc., that I want to know a certain masla, I press a button and I come to know. In no aspect of life can we function in this manner. No person presses a button to find out how he can remedy himself from a certain sickness. No person presses a button to say that how should the house be constructed. He goes and constructs a person who's an expertise in that field. Similarly, more importantly, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should contact those people that are expertise. Because we find conflicting views today, and people come up with funny views that are contrary in the name of Islam also, that, and also substantiating from the Quran also, that this is substantiated from this verse of the Holy Quran, that ma'azallah, this is permissible. One person had mentioned here, so-called learned person, that even sodomy and homosexuality is permissible and is substantiated from the Quran. Can we imagine up to what degree people have gone? So it is absolutely essential to see where we get the knowledge. Where we get the knowledge, is it from a person that understands the deen? Is it the person that is concerned about the akhirat? Is the person that is pious and upright and righteous? Is the person that has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All these qualities are absolutely essential. We don't just go to any PhD doctor or any professor to find out what is the masla regarding our deen. No, this is not the way. So here, the first thing he mentions that each one of us should acquaint ourselves and should have sufficient knowledge as far as our deen is concerned, so that we know what is good and what is, can discern between good and what is bad. Because that has become now so so difficult sometimes, the person does not know that this is absolutely impermissible in deen and this is permissible in deen. Why? Because he has not taken the trouble to go and find out from the learned ulama and from the scholars as to what is the directives from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we are that nation favored by Allah, that our absolute deen, our entire deen, the Quran and hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is preserved for us. And we have learned ulama and scholars within us that can deduce the rulings of those commands that are not explicit in the Quran and hadith in the light of the principles of the Quran and hadith and tell us what is the rulings of deen. So this is the first thing he mentions, that each one of us should acquaint ourselves. Now there's different ways of doing this. One is the person goes and goes into a Darul Uloom and becomes an alim, which is not practical for every person and every ordinary layman to do. The second way is this, that a person goes and attends the majalis and gatherings of learned ulama and he learns from them. And the third way, the most simplest way is this, that any matter that comes before us in our life, whether it's our business, whether it is a marriage, whether it is the tarbiyah of my children, whether Islamic education, then I consult with an alim. I go to a person that's an alim of my vicinity that I have confidence upon, and I go and consult with him, and whatever he directs me with, which is the guidelines in the light of the Quran and Hadith, I follow that. This is the most easiest method to go pooch kar chalna, to keep asking. Like when we are on a journey going somewhere and we do not know the way, what do? We stop and we ask anyone and everyone and they direct us. So similarly here, if you want to tread the path of deen, and if you tread it in the darkness, not in the light of knowledge, then there will be total darkness. Then there will be disasters. Then there will be calamities. Then it will crash. A person will fall down. There will be accidents, etc., which sometimes are irreversible. Allah Ta'ala save us, shine. Sometimes a person goes onto the wrong track, and what happens? That leads him towards evil and harm, and such evil and harm that takes him out of the fold of Islam. We heard of a Muslim being cremated. Some person told us in the course of this week that this is an incident that you have heard. Maybe it was broadcasted. Here he told somewhere here in Durban, there's one place that person says, every week we find two or three Muslims come here to be cremated. You heard of one on the news, and you are so astonished and surprised. Every week two or three come here. What is this? He said, because the people go and marry out of the deen of Islam. And they feel, what is wrong with this, ma'azallah? That person is an inhuman being, I'm a human being. I love that person, he loves me. He follows his deen, she follows her deen, and I follow my deen. Then this is where we end up with, where a person has been cremated. Not to mention more details, we believe that that person who's a mu'min, when he passes away also, he still has feelings. That is why you must ensure that you give him ghusl, you give him good water that's not very hot, etc., and you treat the body with respect, etc. Can we imagine the fate of a person? Allah Pak save us all. That person has been cremated after he passes away, and we believe that he still has feelings. What happens to that person? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So this all stems from here, being ignorant, not knowing the true consequences of going out of Islam, or marrying out of Islam, or having contact with those people that are not Muslims, and justifying it on this grounds that this person is also a human being, and I'm also a human being. I love this person. They follow their deen, and I follow my deen. Does not work in that way. So the first thing is the person acquaints himself with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially those things that we are engaged in. If I'm a businessman, it is absolutely necessary for me to acquaint myself and familiarize myself with the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as far as my business is concerned. Here we find the month of Ramadan coming, then how should we carry out the fast? And when does the fast begin? What are the do's and don'ts of the fasting, etc.? The duty of every mu'min to go and ensure that we have sufficient knowledge to fulfill this obligation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and similarly all the aspects of our life. I am earning, is my earnings halal, etc.? Not that everything happens and then one day a person comes and asks an alim, is this permissible or no? Especially every innovative thing, that thing that is being new in our society, we don't embrace it like the kuffars before, because everybody is talking about it or everybody is doing it. No, the first thing we do is ascertain whether this is permissible in the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we do by consulting the respective ulama kiram. If it is not permissible, irrespective of who is adopting it, how nice and lucrative it may seem as far as my business is concerned, it is not permissible for me, I am not accepting it, and I will not take it on, no matter how much you may promote it to me or give it to me even free of charge. Sometimes a person feels that no, is given to him at no cost, then he adopts it. This is one way of introducing these things in the Muslim Ummah. Many things are given at no cost, and sometimes something is given at no cost and leads to your disaster. The past week somebody sent us an SMS, they do not accept, I think it was a business card or the key rings that you have been given in the garages. Why? Because it has something there that can track you where you are, and you may lose your life and you may lose your car as well. So every free thing is not attractive to take and go on. We should first ascertain whether this is good for us as far as our deen is concerned. This is the first thing he mentioned. The second quality he mentions is befriend those people that will enjoin us with the good and forbid the wrong. In other words, those people only are worthy of being friends that will enjoin upon us the good work and will stop us and forbid us from the wrong work. In other words, those people only we should take as friends. Today, unfortunately, again, because of our rubbing shoulders with the non-Muslims, and sometimes many of those Muslims that are far from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our jobs, etc., we find that we take on anybody and everybody as a friend. Especially with a cell phone, a person dials a number, does not know who he is even talking to. Sometimes he's the arch enemy of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of that abuse, a person's whole life, we find, is changed. Sometimes a child is brought up in a very nice Islamic environment and is nurtured according to the orders of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But ultimately in the end, when he is 15, 16 years old, he meets up with a friend that takes him away from Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sometimes out of the deen of Islam. Most disastrous is a bad company and bad companionship. That is why it's mentioned that good companionship is better than bad companionship. And if a person is not sitting in isolation, it's better than having a bad companionship. So here, as far as the friends are concerned, befriend that person that commands us to do good and forbids us from doing wrong. This is when when we know what the object of friendship is, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that al-akhilla yawma idhin ba'dhum li ba'din adu illa al-muttaqin. That this friendship here in the dunya, sometimes is because a person is going to the wrong place together, to the casino together, or for a picnic and party together, or to some business venture together. But the real friends are those people that have taqwa and piety. That is why all friendships will cease on the day of judgment, except those people that had piety, that loved each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should examine our friendship, our leanings and friendship and our bonds. With who is it? Is it with those people that take us away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and away from the orders of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then they in reality are not our friends. They may purport, they may outwardly seem to be friendly with us, but in reality they are not our friends, they are taking us away. And we all know of the famous incident, the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that one person had accepted the deen of Allah and had read the kalima and shahada before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of his friends had come and told him, Ma'azallah, that my friendship with you will cease if you believe in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know what action he carried out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down verses of the Holy Quran bearing testimony that this person on the day of judgment will say, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila laqad adallani ani dhikri ba'da isjani. That oh, wish alas and regret upon me, how I wish I should have not taken certain person as my friend. He has taken me away from the path of righteousness, from the path of piety, and from the path of deen. So we should be very wary who our friends are. That is why our elders normally tell us that we should be very, very watchful and vigilant as far as our young children are concerned. See who their friends are. Their friends will determine how which direction they are going. If their friends are those people that exhort him and encourage him to do good and stop him from evil, then alhamdulillah, he has good friends. But his friends are such that take him towards evil, take him towards the disobedience of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he does not have proper friends. So here the second advice he gives is that every person should befriend that person that brings him towards the deen of Allah and saves him from the haram. Thirdly, he mentions that a person should recognize his enemies so that he can stay away from the harm of his enemies. He must recognize his enemies, and the greatest of our enemies is nafs and shaitan. And those people that take us towards the fulfillment of the desires of the lust of the nafs and the whisperings of the nafs, and those people that take us towards the work of shaitan, they are also doing the job of shaitan. They are known as the shayateenul ins. They are the shaitan from the insan and the human shaitans. We should save ourselves from them as well, and we should recognize them. That is why one important dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. Because today we find that people, these things are contaminated. People cannot distinguish what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong, what is a vice and what is a virtue. Why? Because of the overwhelming vices in our community. Overwhelming vices in our community. One person in certain country mentioned that certain action is not permissible. He spoke against the gays, and there was an outcry in the world, in the media, that how can a person make such a statement and speak against their rights? Imagine how far the morality of the world is gone, that these people express their resentment and detestment upon that person who spoke evil against those things that are evil in the Quran and Hadith. These people, there's a huge outcry in the entire world that he has spoken away. Why? In the name of freedom, everything becomes permissible. We are not free to do anything. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to follow the orders of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at all times, in all circumstances. So we have to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recognize and know who are our enemies and who are our friends. This has also become now a burning issue. A person does not know who his friends are and who his enemies are. When the seniors and elders and akabir and the ulama-i kiram will prevent us from going in the company of some people, we feel we are being deprived. Hum mahroom ho rahe hai. Woh hume mahroom karne chahte hai. They are depriving us. The reality is, woh hume mahfooz karne chahte hai. They are safeguarding us from the evils of those people. So many incidents we know in our childhood where our parents forbade us from doing certain things, and when we grew up, we thanked them that we are grateful to you that you stopped us. Why? At that stage, we did not have understanding. We thought you are depriving me, but today I realize that you have safeguarded me from the evils. So the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguards us from all those things that are evil, whether we can fathom it, understand it or not, or whether we can or we not, we can't fathom it. But the reality of the affairs is everything that is good is prescribed for us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everything that we are forbidden from is not good for us, no matter how rosy and how nice it may look, and how many people may adopt it in the dunya. قُلْنَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثَّةُ الْخَبِيثُ. No matter, evil and good can never be the same, no matter how overwhelming the evil may be in a society, but they can never be the same. So we should discern and know who our friends are and who our enemies are. The third thing, the fourth quality he mentions, is this, that a person should have, should develop this ability in him to meditate and contemplate over the signs, so that he can take a lesson from the signs of the from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.